everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Data Exposed. I'm here with George Huey. George, why don't you introduce yourself?
My name is George Huey. I am a technical evangelist for the DX group within Microsoft.
And you're located out of where?
I'm located out of Nashville, Tennessee.
Uh-huh. We're lucky and happy to have him with us here in Redmond for a little bit this week.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What are you doing here this week?
I'm working with, I work with customers, and we work with basically, they're looking at the cloud. They're looking, okay, we want to migrate from on-premise to the cloud. How do we do that?
How do we do that?
And so I work with customers on working on how to get from point A to point B. What's the architecture, right?
Yeah.
Do I architect it differently? Do I keep it the same architecture? Do I take my databases as is and stick them in the cloud? Or how does that work?
Yeah. So, and that's a great segue, because one of the things we're going to talk about today is migrating our database. There's one of the ways we can migrate our on-prem database, SQL Server database, to Azure SQL database. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of options out there. Generate Script Wizard, mm-hmm. SSIS, all sorts of, right? BCP,
tools, yes.
SQL Server data tools, mm-hmm. all sorts. Mm-hmm. But you spent the last few years writing this exciting tool called the SQL Database Migration Wizard.
That's correct.
Right?
That's correct.
So our show today is going to be focused on that, because I think there's some... this is one of the great ways that mm-hmm. Allows you to take your on-prem database mm-hmm. and migrate it to Azure SQL Database,
mm-hmm.
right? And there's a lot of caveats and challenges around migration. Things mm-hmm. like things that aren't supported, like
table partitioning, CLR stored procedures.
Yep, all that mm-hmm. stuff. XML indexes.
XML schema collections.
Schema collections.
Example,
yep,
yes.
That's right. So anyway, so there's some challenges around migration for SQL database, things that aren't supported, like full text search, mm-hmm. you know, XML schema collections, things mm-hmm. like that. And so it'd be nice to have this tool that says, hey, what's supported, what's not, and ease that process of migration, right? Mm-hmm. And this your tool actually allows us to, and helps with that process.
Right, that's correct.
So why don't you introduce this okay. tool and tell us what it's all about?
All right. So first off, you know, a lot of times what people, when they start looking at adopting the cloud, they look at, well, what do I need to do?
Mm-hmm.
And they also need to have like a little playground and be able to test things out. And they need to have a Azure account. So the first thing you look at over here is that, do you have an account? Are you signed up? I have an account over here mm-hmm. for myself, and I can log in and I can set up a database server. So the first thing you have to do is you got to be able to create a server to migrate to.
Yep.
Then you can start playing around. So I have a server set up, and one of the things to note about this real fast before you get started is that when you look at your servers, you need to make sure that it's configured. So you go over to configure, and you make sure that your IP addresses are set up properly to allow you to have access to it.
Yeah.
So when we run this tool will be denied access until I give it access from over here.
Yeah,
right?
So from where you're at, right, an IP address rule, be able to say, I'm coming in from this IP address, otherwise the tool is just going to go, I don't have access.
Exactly.
Right.
And so when you look at this then, as part of the migration process, you go, what do I have today? If I'm doing Windows Auth today, right, I can't do Windows Auth up in SQL Azure.
Yep.
Right. So those are some of the considerations. You also look at the database size. You know, I got a terabyte database. Well, okay, there's limits to what you can have up in SQL Azure, up to 500 gigabytes for your premium SKUs. So if my database is bigger, then I need to look at Elasticscale or
yep.
some other kind of stuff.
Yep.
Right.
Other options, because you can't take a 1 terabyte into 500. So how do I then partition that out and things like that?
Exactly. Yep. Correct. So there's a lot of considerations. And again, SQL Azure currently, and actually, you know, you talked about that I've been working with this for 5 years or mm-hmm. so, right? And SQL Azure is getting better and better as far as a parity difference between
yep.
SQL Server and SQL Azure. And it's getting better in the future. It's really going to...
Great things coming.
Yeah, great things coming.
A little teaser there, but can't tell you what they are.
But anyway, so you need to find out what's the difference. And actually, there's a MSD Insight that basically tells you some of the systems that's partially supported, some of the features that are not supported.
Or fully supported.
Are fully supported.
Yep.
And you need to go through, you need to look at it and how you evaluate it. And so, you know.
Yeah, and the point being is this tool is not a 100% solve all your problems.
That's a fact.
You still have to do your homework mm-hmm. even before, and your research, even before running this tool.
Right.
Say, what's supported, what's not. This helped, you know, this kind of the, almost a... you know, 80-20 rule. We'll get you 80% there. There's still a little bit you have to do before you can run the tool, right?
Yeah, because this tool, it can find some errors and it can fix them for you, and other errors it can find but it can't fix.
Right.
And so you need to look at the results. You need to decide, how do I work?
Yep.
And once again, to your point that made earlier, I want to make sure everybody understands as well, is that this is just one way to go through the process.
Yeah.
SQL Server's got a export and import, a database features.
You got the DAC FX,
tools, the DAC FX stuff, and they all work great as well. Usually what you have to do there is that you have to modify, you find a problem, you fix it, you go back and find a problem, you kind of do a iterative process.
Yep.
This wizard will basically script everything and say, here's all your different errors, and then you can fix that script.
Yeah.
So I can leave my master source alone and just fix my script and then run that script up against the cloud.
Yep.
So that's what we're kind of going to walk through is that migration process. Yeah.
And they could always use a combination of these tools, right? Some, like, if I need to use, like, one of the great things is I may use the Generate Scripts Wizard to my, you know, to script out my my schema, and then maybe use BCP to BCP out my data and then BCP it in, or SSIs or things like that,
right?
But this tool, what I like about this tool is it's sort of encompasses several of these into one little into one unit,
right? And that's also something that's a good point is that this tool, I basically use SQL Server management objects to examine your database and script it out. So it's all the SQL Engine built into it.
Yep.
And then as far as uploading of data, it's BCP.
Behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes, I do all the error checking and chunking of data to get it uploaded and do parallel processing and other kind of stuff to make the migration fast. And once again, we'll see that when we kind of walk through the process. So what I'm going to basically do for us is the Northwind database, right?
You're familiar with Northwind? Absolutely.
Oh, baby. Yeah. Use Northwind a lot. So on my machine, right over here, you can see I got a whole bunch of databases.
Yep.
And I got Northwind database right here, so we're going to work on migrating that. Mm-hmm. Now, the Northwind database, or at least the version I have on my machine, is not 100% compatible. And so when I run the wizard, so actually, let me take you first off to where to go to get the wizard, right?
Okay.
We have SQL Azure Migration Wizard, coplex.com.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go out there, you can find the wizard and pull it down.
Right. Now, this is now an open source project,
yes,
correct?
It is. It's an open source project. So it's on Coplex.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, for the people out there in the world that want to see what's going on, because, you know, this is not a black box application. It's white box. The code is all over here. So if I want to see what's going on, I can actually go to the source code. I can look at the source code and I can, you know, see what's going on. So it works really nice that way.
Now, does that mean also that if people have, if they use this, if they have feedback, they can actually contribute to this project if they want, or?
Absolutely correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll take feedback from anybody and everybody on way to make things easier and make life better.
Right. Okay, cool.
Very nice. And you can see over here, we've got like 113,000 downloads, and we got a pretty good rating.
Yeah, so nothing to sneeze at. That's pretty good.
It's a very well used tool, and it takes you a long way to get you there pretty fast. So if I go back over here,
I like that one. I almost felt bad about billing my customer for the data transfer. All right, we won't point that out. Oh, too late.
Too late. There you go. So this is when I first run, and actually. So, you got a database, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to migrate your database. What happens if all your SQL is dynamic, right? How do you analyze a database to find out for compatibility,
right? That's right, yeah.
So, one of the things that the SQL Azure Migration Wizard does is I can basically run SQL Profiler, I say, against my production database, you know, 15 minutes or through a full QA run that does the most exercise of all the different stored procs. And then what I can do is I can save my SQL Profiler. I can come over here to SQL Azure Migration Wizard. I can take a trace file, and I'll take a smaller trace file here, open, and I can actually go through and analyze that trace file. And so you can see what happens, and the wizard goes through and says, "Oh, you're using this statement. You know, use database." So use database is really great, as long as I'm using myself kind of thing, right? I can't swap databases because that's an illegal command. So if you got that in your script, you try to do that, it's going to say, hey, you're doing use database a lot. It's saying here, extended properties, is not supported. So there's a lot of different things that it looks for and will tell you up front. And what's nice about this, again, is that since it's dynamic SQL, you're not going to have in your database. So even if you analyze your database, find out your database is compatible, you might have
some of your statements may not be.
Exactly. Yeah. And it will break you, right? Yep. So this kind of helps you look at that particular feature.
Very nice.
So then once I've, go through that particular route, I can also go through my database analysis. Now, you can see I have many different steps in here. I got the database. I also got a T-SQL file. So you mentioned before that, hey, I could go into SQL Server Management Studio. I could generate scripts, right? I can save those scripts off, and then I can analyze those scripts with this wizard as well.
Yeah.
So I don't have to go directly to the database. I can go get a file.
That's a good point, because a lot of companies will, from a software development life cycle, will create their scripts and save those off into like a TFS or things like that, right? And,
yes.
run these scripts. So, in SQL Server Management Studio, I can script for SQL Azure, mm-hmm. right? And, okay, that's cool, but mm-hmm. a lot of these companies will, prior to Microsoft, I worked for a lot of companies that said, okay, we're going to script all our objects and save those in source control.
Right.
Right. At that point, they would say, well, I want to know if, and they deploy that way.
Mm-hmm.
This is a
mm-hmm.
great way to say, from a T-SQL, say, all right, I want to look at my scripts and, mm-hmm. and see if, instead of scripting a massive database, let me look at my
individual files
and say, can I use these to run against
exactly.
a SQL database?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what I can do through here as
Perfect.
Well. So in this case, I'm going to go through a database. I said Northwind is what I'm going to work with. You can see I connect to my local server. Connect. There's the Northwind database.
Mm-hmm.
So I can click on him, say next. And then what I want to point out here is that in the options, I can basically say, I want to script to the SQL Azure database. In which case, what happens is when I tell it that I'm going to this database, there's a lot of options down over here, like change data capture, compatibility checks, you got your engine store procs. There's different categories of what is compatible versus what's not compatible. So it's all broken down. So by default, I tell it to do all compatibility checks, right? I want to check everything out. Now, if you got yourself a 1,000 table database and you have a whole bunch of other kind of stuff, the check might take a little bit of time. So you might want to come back and say, you know what? I know that I don't have full text search. So there's no reason to check for it. So I come in over here and say, hey, only check for these particular features and analyze my database with that. And then we shorten the time down a little bit.
Yep.
So that's kind of what that does. Also, what I can do is my first time that I'm playing around, I can come in and say, you know what, I don't care about the data.
Yeah.
I just want to look at the schema. So you got the capability to come in here and say, I want to do schema only, or schema and data, or data only, because I might migrate my schema and got all this stuff worked out.
My schema's already there.
Now I'm ready to go,
right?
So I can do all of that as well. So in this case, I'm gonna go ahead and say, let's do both. I'm gonna go to the SQL database. Now note that if I do go to SQL Server, then I don't do any kind of checks. Because SQL Server is gonna be compatible.
Exactly. I don't need to do anything
you
there,
bet.
Right?
All right, so say I'm good, okay. Next.
And go back real quick, because notice that the things we are checking are store procedures, tables, and views, right?
Well, actually, so let me come back over here real fast. Yeah, so let's look at that AdventureWorks.
Yep.
You can see AdventureWorks got a whole bunch of other things as well.
Yeah.
So it actually analyzes all the different object types that you have.
That exists in that database, right?
That exists in the database.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Good to know.
And then I can also, if I want to, say, you know what, I really only care about some specific tables or some specific stored procedures.
Yep.
I can then
get
analyze
very granular
those,
that way. Yeah.
So it's basically based off of SQL Server Management Studio.
That's right. This looks really familiar.
So I'm going to do. Well, let's say I'm going to go back to my Northwind. And so it's going to go through analyzing. Now you can see I take as much information as possible, and I spit it back out so that you can see it. So here's like the BCP. So you saw that the BCP commands and the data being downloaded.
Yep.
And so you can kind of track that. Now, if you notice, you'll see that there's some stuff come up in red saying, hey, there's something wrong, right?
Okay.
So anything in red or brown is something you need to look at and kind of address. So you can see over here in this particular area saying changing index to a clustered index. So one of the things that's required in SQL Azure.
Can't have a heap table.
That's right.
So you have, every table has to have a clustered index.
Every table's got to have a clustered index. Yeah. That's correct. So a lot of people in their databases, they don't have a clustered index on their table. So what I do is when I look at your table, I will say, oh, there's no clustered index on here, but you have an index. So I'm going to take your index, I'm going to make it to a clustered index. Or I will look at it and say, there's no index. So I'll say, oh, I'll take this first column and I'll make it to a clustered index. And then I basically create it for you, but I tell you, hey, there's a clustered index required. Here it is. You need to examine it first before you move on.
Like here, you may want to pick a different.
Exactly. You may want to pick a different index.
Right.
Right. And actually, let me just squeeze them out over here.
Yeah.
And so I kind of let you know what's going on. So now you see there's two tabs.
Okay.
This is the reporting tab. This is the actual script tab. So you can see here, here's your actual SQL Server, right? Your scripts. And it's pretty really, really close to what you do with generate scripts inside of a SQL Server.
Now, can you make your, if you need to, if I want to make a change to that index, do I do it here or is there an underlying T-SQL script that I need to make it
so
make the changes to?
So what I do, because I hate editing in this wizard, right? There is a save command.
Yep.
So I click on my script, I can save it off someplace,
okay.
And then I pull it up in SQL Server Management Studio.
Right?
Okay. Because in SQL Server Management Studio, it'll give me the little lines and other kind of stuff and tell me when I got things wrong and I can do stuff. So I do all my editing in SQL Server Management Studio.
Okay.
Now I can do simple editing within here, right? If I come over here and say, well, I see where George has now created a key clustered index, right? And I can, you know, I want to have this descending, right? Instead of ascending or some other kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I can edit, but again, if I want to do some serious looking and editing, I do it in SQL Server.
Evaluation of the script, yep.
Yeah.
Okay. And then can you load it back into here once you're done with it? Can you load it back in here to run?
So
very good.
So if we come back here real fast, you'll see that I got run from T-SQL file without analyzing. Because I already been through the analysis process, or I might want to reanalyze again, in which case I come back over here, I point to my SQL file that I'm playing with.
Yep.
And I put it through the system.
And there we go. Yep.
And it works.
Okay.
You bet. So let me come back. Yes.
Northwind isn't that big, but that's still really fast.
Yeah. Northwind's not extremely large, but it definitely does help things. So now that I got it scripted out, and I go through and I look at my stuff and I decide it's fixed. And again, through here, I know that all the stuff was basically clustered indexes. Mm. I think there might have been one select clause that had a table hint without the with statement in it. And it automatically fixed that for you. And it tells you, oh, hey, I noticed you didn't have a with on
your hint,
and it puts it on for you. So it makes some corrections where it can. In other cases where it can't, it just says bold red, hey, you got to fix this.
Right, okay.
So once I'm done, I can then come over and connect to my server. The first time you come in, you will have to enter in your credentials and you get that off your Azure portal. You can find out what your server name is and stuff. And then, since I've already been through my wizard, you have a choice down over here that you can save off your login information.
Oh, yeah, very nice.
So the next time I'm through, like right now, I can come over and I can say, I want to go to this Azure database, which is what I got set up. Now, important thing to note, is that there's an ampersand server name over here. That's required. You got to have it. Matter of fact, with the wizard, if you don't have it, we'll say, hey, you don't have this. I need to append this.
Okay.
You know, and you say, okay, do it.
There you go, yeah.
And the reason is because, like BCP, when I'm uploading data, that helps route the server to the correct point.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why that's there, and that's the reason why you see it. And it's required to work. So I can say connect. So you see I got no databases. If I go back over to the portal, let's see, databases. I currently got no databases set up over here.
Right.
So what you need to do then is you need to create a database. So if I say create database, it's going to come up. I'm going to say Northwind, for example. Since I'm working with Northwind, you can specify your collation if you got a specific collation you want to work with. You can come over here, and this is where it's kind of interesting, is you got your service tiers, right?
Yep.
I've got standard, I've got basic, premium, web, business, And the thing to note for everybody is that web and business is what?
Going away.
It's going away.
Yeah.
So
you want to be careful when you pick those.
Yeah, yeah. So it's fun to play with. I mean, for a developer, I can say, you know what? I want to do the web thing because it's there. Or I might want to do basic or something else. The thing to note, this is really cool, and we'll show this here in a few seconds as well, is that if I choose basic or if I choose standard, it doesn't mean that I have to stay there.
Yes.
Right? Because I can go into the portal at any given point in time and say, you know what? I want to change my version to here.
Yep.
And it does it for me without taking me down.
Exactly.
So.
Right. Say, oops, I didn't mean to pick that.
Right.
Like, or I need more or less
power.
Throughput. Right? So right. Let me change that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So anyway, if you don't pick the right size immediately when you're first going through, don't sweat it because you can move things around back and forth.
Yep.
Again, I like to start off, you know, with basic, or in this case, I want a little bit more throughput, so I go with here. And again, if you look, the size for standard, I can go up to 250 gigabytes max. If I want to go to premium, I can go up to 500 gigabytes max. Mm-hmm. So again, I got some choices to make. Plus the fact that also, if you look, I got a little link on here down at the bottom that kind of tells you about the service tiers and performance thing. So when you're looking at it, you can click on this link and it'll take you directly over to these service tiers. So I can start looking and decide, you know, which one do I want. So, you know, right off the bat, your first time around, you probably don't need all the features.
Right.
But say you want to have geo replication, right? And you want to be able to have this, you know, hot reads, you know, set up.
Yep.
You're going to look at premium. If you want to have auditing or some other kind of stuff, you want to look at the premium SKUs.
Yeah.
If you just want to have redundancy, but it's not online, well, standard would be okay, right? So you've got different tiers, different reasons to go for it. But in your analysis phase, from a developer standpoint,
I'm just testing.
And once I get done testing, if it's good, hey, I can upgrade to the higher premiums.
Yep.
So that's what this is all about. So I have some stuff over here. Again, if I would have chose like web, you'll see it says come back and says not recommended because it's going away.
Yeah.
And then there's a link right over here that takes you to the MSDN article that says why it's going away and some other kind of stuff as well. So I got all of that. Anyway, I'm going to go with standard. I'm going to sit there and just go with the default. You got different levels inside of standard, S0, S1, and S2.
Yep.
I'll stick with this. The database size. Now, with the new service tiers, the database size, all this is saying is that I'm going to set it has nothing to do with price, right?
Yep.
I can do 500 megabytes or I can do 250 gigabytes.
We went away from how much data you have in your database. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to kind of the performance, right?
Right.
So you could put 250 gig.
Exactly.
And
it's not going to make any difference as far as my charge goes.
Yep.
Right. So I'll just say with 250 gigs, I'm going to create my database, Northwind, create. Well, it will create. All right. It's going.
No, go ahead.
Yeah. So the database is created. It goes out there and creates the database, and it created a S1 SKU. And then I can say next. This can say, do you want to run the script? So all that script that we played with a while ago is now ready to run against this particular database.
Okay.
So I can say, yes, I want to run against the database. And now you see it's going through. And what I kind of do basically is instead of playing the whole script back, I just kind of take the little headers of each one so you know what's going on. And it's played.
Oh,
now,
I see.
If you watch, when I get to the tables, you'll see a whole bunch of tabs come out. That's all parallel processing of uploading of data to your database.
Nice.
So that's what makes it so fast. So if you notice down over here, it took
You just spin off a bunch of threads.
I do.
And say, okay, I've got 10 tables. I'm spinning up 10 threads, and each table is going to be a thread, and I don't have to,
Right.
Very nice.
And then inside of the config file for the application, you'll see a SQL Azure Migration Wizard .exe.config.
Yeah.
You can specify the number of threads. So you might say, well, my machine's smaller. I only want to have four parallel threads. Or I want to have 8. By default, I have 8 threads. If you want more because you got a bigger machine and you got a humongous network, crank it up to 10 or 12.
Yeah.
You can also, what's cool here, is that if you got a 1,000 table database, I could actually have SQL Azure Migration Wizard running on my machine and your machine. And on your machine, you say, I want to do tables these, and on my machine, I do tables these, and we both upload, and we can we can start doing massively parallel kind of uploads to the database.
Yeah.
So really, really
very
cool.
Nice.
All right, but you can see it took 19 seconds.
Yep.
I went through and migrated my database. So if I hadn't talked so much, the whole process would have been, you know, pretty simple and quick to go through. And again, the whole point here is that you want to see, can I get to the cloud? And how easily can I get to the cloud? And this tool helps you analyze and get that particular point.
And that's a good point. So it was very quick. And I like the fact that when you generate the script, it highlights and color codes, hey, you have an issue here. Mm-hmm. Now, the question I have is, if it finds an issue, and if it finds an issue that it can't fix, like you said, there's some that you, I can easily go and fix, like I can put a width in front of the hint and things like that. But if there's things that I can't fix, does it let you proceed, or does it go back and say, all right, you have to go fix these before we can continue?
It lets you proceed. Okay. Right, so I do not have to fix everything before I move on.
Okay,
I and that's, you know, so I can go through. I can say, you know, take everything, let's migrate it, and if there is an error, you can see here I got my BCP data coming up, but if there was an error, you would have saw something in red come out in big red, says here's a problem that you got to have right. So at that point in time, I can go back, I can take that script, and I can fix it. And I'm, you know, back in the beginning of Wizard where I said take a SQL file.
Yep.
I can run just that part if nothing else depends on it.
Okay.
And go there, so I can do pieces at a time.
Okay. So if there's if there's no dependencies, we're good.
Right.
But if there's a dependency, you may not be able to run that script, for example.
Well, so if you have a dependency, what you can do is that inside of the Wizard, there's if exists.
Right. Oh, right? Yeah.
So I can tell it when I'm scripting it. Check if this guy exists, don't do anything.
Right.
And so then you have the full if exists, and I can run it over and over and over again. And
okay.
Then, you know, the only thing that you don't want to run over and over again is the BCP upload of
data. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So that's why a lot of people, the first time around, they will do just the schema only.
Just to get rid of the, just to do the, fix the issues.
Fix the issues first.
Okay.
Then once all the issues are fixed, then I can say, all right, now let's go through this thing. Don't script the schema, just do the data and go.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, it's good to know.
Yeah.
So this is an excellent tool, and with the number of downloads, that you can tell that, you know, this is a very nice tool for migration, and it sort of, like I said, gets that kind of lumps some of these things in, you know, like the generic Chips Wizard and BCP into a, you know, click, you know, next, go scenario, which makes, you know, makes the migration easy. But again, I do want to point out, and you know, this is a very nice tool. Highly recommend you go download this tool if you're thinking about migrating to Azure SQL Database. Mm-hmm. But I think we need to be very clear that because it's a CodePlex project,
right.
This is not a supported Microsoft product,
right.
But if there are questions, you can feel free to go out to
the SQL Azure Migration site.
The CodePlex website. Post your questions. It's monitored. We'll answer the questions and kind of help you along the way.
Let's go over here.
Yep, there you go.
Here we go. There's a discussions
tab.
And
right. So if you have a if you have feedback, if you have a question, I need a little support. Again, not officially supported Microsoft product, but if you have a question, post it there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those that are monitoring the site will answer your questions and help you along the way.
Correct.
Right. But it's still a very good tool. Highly recommend you download this and start playing with it because it's very nice.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
George, thanks for coming. This is very nice. If you have any questions, feel free to email us and contact us. And happy to provide some information.
Go out to the CodePlex site and you can ask away. I'll be happy
we'll
to
start monitoring questions. Now the downloads, maybe get you over 200,000.
There you go. I like it.
All right. George, thanks for coming. Appreciate your time. Everybody,
thanks
for watching. We'll see you next time.
All right. Take care.